Monique Carradine. Friday mornings, 9 until 11 on The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
I'm very pleased to have right now on the phone with me Michelle Freeman. And Michelle is actually a policy coordinator with the Time for Change Foundation. She works with the board there. But she also has an interesting story of dealing with addiction in her own life. She was addicted for many, many years and has been clean for 5 years. Michelle, good morning and thank you for being with us today on WVON.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. Tell me your story and just kind of giving me a picture of what your life was like before you became addicted.
Well, I was on crack cocaine for 20 some odd years. My life before then was a fairly normal life. I had some molestation going on there. And when I say normal, the normalcy of covering up the molestation, hiding it, and the fear of being found out and being blamed for the molestation. I was molested by my uncle and a family friend at a very early age. Mm-hmm. And from then, I had started acting out. So my behavior of acting out was just to cover up the pain of the solitude, the loneliness of being in this shameful thing, mm-hmm. all alone, not telling anyone, and going through it. Basically, that was it.
Right. But so dealing with the molestation led you think into using drugs to help you cope?
For sure.
Mm-hmm. How old were you when you started on drugs?
I was 18. I say drugs because then I had started. I say physically. Crack cocaine drugs was, I started when I was 18, 19 years old, started experimenting with drugs. But prior to that, the drug of my choice was acting out, flirting with the boys and getting attention. And sex and the illusion of sex is also a drug at that time. And that was, at that time, all that was there at my disposal.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of that covering up, that burying and trying to deal with this pain of molestation. When I turned 18, I started experimenting with different drugs, marijuana, LSD, SHRM, all of that. And it wasn't until 1984 that I actually tried crack cocaine. And that was that led into like a 20-year of abuse of that drug.
And you were how old in 84?
I was 24.
Okay, and did you ever have children?
I have two children, and unfortunately, my children bear the cost of my addiction. I was in and out of the home. I was there sometimes I wasn't. Abandoning them to go on, you know, weeks, months.
On binges.
On binges, mm-hmm. going out seeking the drug because at that time, you know, you just wanted that drug and nothing else mattered. Mm-hmm. No amount of pleading from my family mm-hmm. to get some help was sufficient enough for me to stop. I couldn't stop.
When I get back from a quick break, Michelle, and I, again, appreciate you telling your story with us, I want to find out how bad it actually got and then tell us what the turning point was for you. So let's do that when we come back. We're also going to get to some of these phone calls. Folks are waiting to get in on this, and there's a line or two here open for you. 591-1690, looking at the issue of drug addiction in the community as well as mental disorders and how those two things tie together. Do you know someone who is dealing with, suffering with these problems, and maybe the family has just completely alienated them or just written them off or just given up and just said, oh, well, she's going to be a crackhead forever? 591-1690. I'm Monique Carradine. This is the Monique Carradine Show.
News, traffic, and weather up next on The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hi, I'm Mike, marine biologist and challenge lover. Sometimes for fun, I like to do something really easy, like use my Visa debit card to buy a Filet-O-Fish sandwich at participating McDonald's. But you know what's not easy? Getting your pet sea lion to order it for you.
Hi, may I take your order?
Well, at least using Visa Debit is easy.
Sir?
Visa Debit. Go with the easier way to pay. More people go with Visa. McDonald's and Filet-O-Fish are trademarks of McDonald's Corporation and its affiliates.
Good morning. The time is 9:30 on this Friday, August 20th. I'm Brian Monte for WVON News, and here's a look at some of the stories making news this morning. A police chase which started in Calumet City ended in Chicago early this morning with a crash, killing two people and critically injuring three others. The crash took place on the far south side and involved a vehicle which had been carjacked. A woman in the car died at the scene and a man died later at Advocate Christ Medical Center in Oaklawn. The carjacked vehicle crashed into a pole close to a fast food restaurant at about 1:30 this morning. Hilton Hotel employees in Chicago have voted to authorize a strike at the four hotels in the city. The vote authorizes a walkout at the Chicago Hilton, Hilton O'Hare, and the Palmer House Hilton, and the Drake. Unite Here, Local 1, and Local 450 say 96% of its members voted Thursday night in favor of a walkout. That vote enables the bargaining committee to call an actual strike if necessary. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, convicted felon now, says he's more than ready to testify in his own defense in a potential retrial. He just doesn't understand why such a move would be necessary.
Look, I wanted to take the stand the first time around, and I certainly would be fully prepared to take it the second time around if there is one. The big question is, why are they wasting taxpayer money?
Blagojevich was found guilty of making a false statement to the FBI. The jury could not agree on the other 23 counts he was facing, which included racketeering, conspiracy, and trying to sell President Obama's vacant U.S. Senate seat. Blagojevich will be on the Cliff Kelly Show later this afternoon here on WVON. Hip-hop star Wyclef Jean will learn today if he's eligible to run for president of Haiti. Jean is confident he'll make the cut, disputing a report that came out yesterday that said the former Fugees rapper had been excluded. He called into CNN's Larry King Live Thursday to say he's hopeful. President Obama is again pushing the Senate to pass legislation aimed at boosting small businesses. Before departing Thursday for a family vacation in Martha's Vineyard, the president said small businesses are hurting.
Small business owners I met with this week, the ones that I've met with across the country this year, they don't have time for political games. They're not interested in what's best for a political party. They're interested in what's best for the country.
He called the legislation a jobs bill. Obama said it will provide tax cuts and other incentives to help small businesses create more jobs. Senate Republicans are blocking the Democrats' measure, arguing that it will actually boost taxes on small businesses while adding cumbersome new federal regulations. Lawmakers are in recess until after Labor Day. And those are some of the stories in the news this morning. Traffic and weather up next.
I'm Glenn Harston, the Fix-It Man, and I'm moving to a new time slot. So now you can join me every Sunday from 6 to 7 a.m. for the Fix-It Man show here on WVON. It's the same show, same host, just a new day. On the show, we provide solutions and walk our listeners through the steps for their home remodeling, repairs, and maintenance needs. And you know my motto on the show, if I can't fix it, I know somebody who can. So remember, we're now on Sundays from 6 to 7 a.m. right here, the Fix-It Man show on WVON.
South Central Community Services invites you to one of the hottest events of the summer. Friday, August 27th, South Central Community Services will host its 15th annual fundraiser, Casino Magic, a Las Vegas affair, at the venue inside the Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana. Enjoy great food, top entertainment by Illusionist the Spellbinder, Walter King, Michael Jackson impersonator, Ed Hollis, and magician Danny Orleans. Have a night of nonstop fun while supporting vital social service programs that help to strengthen our community. For ticket information, call 773-483-0900, extension 231. That's 773-483-0900, extension 231, or visit sccsinc.org today.
Casino Magic is sponsored by AT&T, Risk Management, the Chicago Defender, and the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. At WVON, we're always proud to help.
In our newspapers and on television, we are constantly hearing about people not being represented in court correctly. On the South Side, an attorney stands for justice. That attorney is Theodore London. This is Cliff Kelly inviting you to listen to The Legal Line every Thursday afternoon from 3:30 to 4 p.m. when attorney Theodore London takes your call and gives free legal information on legal issues ranging from estate planning, divorce, child support, criminal matters, and more. Attorney London always provides relevant legal information to our community, and all you have to do is call. And if you're in need of legal services, feel free to contact Attorney London at his office, which is located at 509 East 75th Street in Chicago, or call his office at 773-994-1111. That's 773-994-1111. Attorney Theodore London, he wants to represent you.
The time right now is 9:36. Let's take a look at traffic and weather together. Some delays on the Eisenhower inbound from Thorndale to the Circle. It's at 40 minutes. On the Kennedy inbound from the Tri-State to downtown would take you 50. Delays on the Ryan inbound from 95th to the Circle. That would take you about 30 minutes. They're still trying to clear up an accident in that inbound direction. On the Stevenson inbound from I-355 to Lakeshore Drive would take you 41. And no delays right now on Lakeshore Drive. Looking at today's weather, mostly sunny, hot, and humid. We'll get up to 93 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 71. For Saturday, partly cloudy with a chance of a thunderstorm. The high will be 86. And for Sunday, partly sunny skies, a high of 88. At O'Hare right now, it's 81. At Midway, 82. And here at the Talk of Chicago, partly cloudy skies at 81. I'm Brian Monte, and that's a look at traffic and weather together here at the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
It's the all-new WVON.com with all the latest interactive features, including the WVON Black Card. Membership has its privileges. Follow WVON on Facebook and Twitter. Go to the all-new WVON.com.
We're back on the Monique Carradine Show. Thank you again for hanging out with us today. We are looking at an issue that I think affects just about everyone, but too often we choose to ignore it. We don't want to deal with it. When we see people, even in our families, who have issues, we just call them crazy and write them off. And if you have seen the video of actress Maya Campbell on my website, MoniqueCarradine.com, you will be troubled, and hopefully you will start to think about those people in your family that perhaps you have written off, and we'll think about ways to help them, and hopefully we'll give you some solutions for doing just that today on the show. My guest is Michelle Freeman, and she is clean now for 5 years, right, Michelle?
5 years.
Congratulations.
Incredible.
On that.
Never thought I would be 5 years clean and sober.
Wow. And you spent more than 20 years addicted to crack cocaine, and now you're working again with a great organization out in San Bernardino, California, called the Time for Change Foundation.
Yes.
You are the policy coordinator for the agency's board of directors. Not only are you clean, but you got this real nice, cool title and everything, Michelle.
Wow.
Which is
and
fantastic.
And I'm also board treasurer for Time for Change Foundation. Board treasurer.
Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent, girl. They trusting you with the money, too. I am mad. That is
so
wonderful.
So it is. Recovery is possible, mm-hmm. and it's only possible when we are diagnosed and we get treatment.
Absolutely.
And a lot of us, a lot of times, are out there. I know I was out there 20 years, homeless, just a wreck, wreaking havoc everywhere, and everything at that time was sellable. Myself, whatever.
You sold your body for drugs?
Yes, I did. So my body, and anything else that was sellable. You understand what I'm saying? Because at that point, all we wanted was to get that drug, to deal with our pain, to dull those voices that we were hearing, knowing that, you know, just hopeless.
Did your family give up on you?
My family gave up on me, and I also gave up on them. I abandoned my children. I just went homeless, just out there, just on this chase for this drug, this chase for this ease and comfort away from this pain that I was going through. And, I mean, just mentally gone, just mentally gone.
How old are your children now?
My children now are 26 and 20.
So you just recently, in the past 5 years, been able to develop a relationship with your children who are now
Absolutely.
Grown. You missed their entire childhood.
I missed most of their entire childhood, just in and out. I can't even remember when they took their first steps or anything of that, because it's just a blank. And I was not, like, really truly there as I should have been as a mother. But my pursuit at that time was my drug, the crack cocaine.
Nothing else mattered to you?
Nothing else mattered.
What was the turning point for you?
My turning point was I went to prison. I heard Kim Carlos, who's the founder of Time for Change Foundation's story while I was in there. And that was my first gleam that there was hope for me. Because up until that point, I was in prison, and my only thought was going back out and starting the whole cycle all over again. Mm-hmm. The search for the drug, to just being out there, not even trying to connect with my family or to get back into society. I heard her story, and it just filled me. I mean, it just inspired me. And when I
so wait a minute, prison, you were in prison serving how many years, how much time?
I was in prison serving on a violation for drugs and a traffic violation.
And all you wanted to do, all you wanted to do when you got, all you could think about doing is getting back to the drugs. It's the minute you got out of prison, you wanted to go back to drugs.
Of course, I didn't know what else did I know. I hadn't been taught, I hadn't been shown anything else. I hadn't been shown that there was even anything out there that would help me, that anyone was even willing to help me. Because as you know, being homeless and being on drugs, people tend to just like walk right over you, ignore or pretend that you're not even there. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, we're suffering with, first of all, drug addiction, mental illnesses, that we haven't even diagnosed, but we know that it's there. And no one is taking the time to say, hey, you know what? You look like you may need some help.
Mm-hmm.
Or let me help you. And, you know, none of that was coming.
So what about treatment? What did you do to actually get treated for this?
I got out of prison. I went to Kim's Time for Change Foundation. She has two shelters, one for single women and one with mothers and children, and that's called Sweet Dreams. So I went through her program. She got me involved with Cocaine Anonymous, where I started attending some meetings. I had some therapy, some parenting classes, so that I can learn why did I choose to just keep on in this insanity of chasing this drug and not, seeing that there was hope for me or getting my life back together.
Do you ever have an appetite for drugs today?
The thought is always going to come, but had I not gone through this process and learned that there are tools and there are ways, and it has to be, you have to have a foundation, and you have to really truly know what we're actually suffering from, and that disease is that pain that no one has ever allowed me to express, to get out. And through the meetings and through my treatment, I'm now beginning to let this out and go back into my past and see what caused this and where did it start from. And that had never occurred to me before. That had never happened to me before.
So you're still in treatment today?
I'll be in treatment for the rest of my life.
Okay. 591-1690, Michelle Freeman sharing her story of addiction, pain, self-medicating, molestation, all these things that nobody ever really wants to deal with. I want to take a phone call or two here before we have to wrap this up with you, Michelle, and bring in our clinical expert who's going to shed some light on this. Franklin is calling from the West Side. Hi, Franklin. Thank you for waiting so patiently.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Ms. Friedman and Monique?
I'm
good.
Thank you.
You know, this is something that I always talk about. You know, I talk to my kids. My father talked to me sometimes till he was blue in the face, and a lot of times I would be sitting there like, yeah, whatever. You know, I know. But I can't tell you how many times that something that he said to me guided me away from the things that, you know, I could have been doing. And like you said, when I go to the city now, because I live, you know, in the suburbs, and when I go back, I just can't help but to see, you know, like a lot of friends that come up like, man, what's up? And I'm looking at them, and like you said, it's just like a sea of hopelessness, you know?
Right.
And it really bothers me. But the one thing I know that people do what they know. I talk to people. I remember talking to my friend. I was telling him, said, man, it's the whole life out here, you know. And he was actually getting high at the time. Mm. And he looked up at me and so seriously, he said, you know, I know you think I'm missing out on life, but man, you're missing out on this, man. It's some good stuff, you know.
Wow.
the insanity of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like you can't really tell people that's lost. They have to reach their turning point, as, you know,
right.
as Ms. Freeman found out. And,
absolutely.
And when you have such a rough start, you know, with molestation and
yeah.
then you don't have the good support system at home with your family.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a rough start, then the turning point is going to be pretty low. For me, I was fortunate enough to have great parents.
Right.
And somebody in my ear from, you know,
but you know what?
You
know what, Franklin, and thank you for your call. That's really important what you just said. But there are a lot of people out there who do come from good, solid homes. They do have mm-hmm. both parents, but they still go this way because it's more than just people think, well, drugs are a choice or you choose to do drugs. But once you become addicted, that is a disease that has to be dealt with as such. Michelle, listen, I really want to thank you for sharing your story. I have to take a break here. I want to tell people again to check out the website of the Time for Change organization, and it's timeforchangefoundation.org, and they have definitely changed you in a big way, and I congratulate
yes,
you on your
have.
Success.
And I would also like to say that we do are in desperate need of donations, and if you visit our website, we have a link there, Donate Now. And we need diapers, money, clothing, mm-hmm. because we have women and children that are coming out of homelessness at a phenomenal rate.
Yes.
That they want to go and change their lives around. And I'm a living, walking testimony for Time for Change because it has really, truly blessed my life and have, look at me. From drug addict to now board treasurer. I mean, come on.
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, my goodness.
That
it's
is
an
fantastic.
Awesome program. It's an awesome agency.
Well, continued success to you. I'm happy for you, your children, now that you have been finally reunited with them and building a relationship.
And that's part of the recovery process also, mm-hmm. that you do get to reunite with your family again.
Well, I look forward to checking in with you again in the future. I'm sure we'll continue this conversation, and I thank you so much for being with me today, Michelle.
Thank you, Monique.
Have a good day.
Monique Carradine, Friday mornings, 9 until 11, on The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.